Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Welcome to America. Tonight we teed up with our pals from Talk Radio News, our friend Bob Ney, the former congressman from Ohio, in our virtual green room. We spared no expense. Is it pretty nice in there?
Oh, it's beautiful. It's a cup of coffee and everything. A donut. Wow.
Donut.
better than anything I got on the trip to Scotland.
Oh, boy, that's the truth, isn't it? That was one trip that you should have just gotten sick and stayed home.
That was an expensive trip, right? I should have said donut and coffee.
You know what? Once you get out of prison, is it in your rearview mirror and you just, I mean, you wrote a book about it, Sideswipe, which was terrific, and we've talked to you about that. Does it, you know, is it kind of in your rearview mirror and that's it? Hey, now I'm back and I'm living each day and that's fine.
Oh yeah, and you gotta, Webb Hubble gave me the best advice, before I went in, and you can't let it drive you crazy. It happened, and you gotta, you know, learn and move on.
That's good advice.
Yeah,
that's good advice. Especially too, Bob, the thing that boggles my mind about that is you were not even a golfer.
I know.
I mean,
believe me.
Not even. Let's talk about this, about Israel and Netanyahu and whether or not he's going to get elected in. Apparently it's really super close. The polls were showing that. And, it was a wild kind of day. There were a lot of people that were reacting to Netanyahu. And this is election day, of course, in Israel. And will he be the prime minister when it's all said and done? What do you think?
You know, I don't know yet. I mean, people that I know are posting that he's got it locked up to, you know, to get enough seats to a deal. But it was razor close. He was losing in two of the polls. His party, that's the way they do it. The parties are voted on. He did a few things that I think he's going to have some damage control if he does get prime minister in the last moments. Turned his opinion completely around on a Palestinian state. He got attacked by some of the candidates, the Israeli candidates, because he came out today and said, oh, Arabs are voting, in large numbers, he's alarmed. And then they said, well, that was racist. So it's a shaky coalition. He's going to have to, I think, do some damage repair. This might be his last, you know, couple of years at it if he doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we'll see.
And the whole fiasco of, which was the speaker's fault, of causing the controversy for Netanyahu that didn't need to happen on his visit here because of the way Boehner did it and went around the White House, things like that. So there's a lot of time, I guess, to do something with that.
Yeah, and that's been part of the conversation, as you know, obviously, too. I want to jump to this, since it's kind of a Middle East thing. It's definitely a Middle East thing. The former ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton from the U.S., said that over the weekend, he was heavily quoted, saying that the president is negotiating an unprecedented act of surrender with Iran in discussions over its nuclear weapon program. What are your thoughts on what's happening with that?
Well, first of all, you know, John Bolton, that's like asking Jesse James to bring in the Dalton brothers. I mean, John Bolton is literally, I personally have met with him. He came to my office. He is the largest warmonger. If John Bolton were president of the United States, blood would flow all over the world into the streets. I mean, I'm serious. He knows nothing but war. He's a very dangerous, a psychotic person. Now, having said that, as far as the, and I mean it, but as far as the agreement goes, because Bolton has no credibility, this is the only step in three decades that actually begins to do something with Iran to prevent a nuclear Iran with a bomb, because nobody's doing anything. I mean, we've sanctioned them. We've sanctioned everything except the air they breathe, and they keep going. And so Barack Obama actually is beginning to do something for the first time in again, 35-some years. And Bolton doesn't even know what the agreement is yet, but the only alternative to all of this is what? And if Bolton was asked that question, he would answer, at least honestly, war, you know, stopping them by military force.
Right. And the
and who does that? You know, can we do it?
Yeah. Yeah. And when you look at Iran, and you are very familiar with Iran, having spent time there, what do you make of, you know, the Ayatollahs and where their culture is headed, and how should we feel about that? You know, it's a very mixed when you even just bring that up on the air, the kind of reaction you get.
Well, you know, and I'm serious about this. You take the, you know, some of the top Ayatollahs, and they are John Bolton. Bolton is an Ayatollah without a turban because they're the same mindset. You know, it's their way, the highway. They don't care if there's a war. So you're dealing with that element in Iran, and then Iran has the moderate element and somewhere in between. So a lot of people, you know, are worried. I mean, that's why the letter from the senators went to the main Ayatollahs who don't want an agreement. They're just like Bolton. They don't want an agreement, which just makes you start to wonder why they don't want one, and, you know, why Bolton doesn't want one. And it's because they, you know, both share this mindset of a nuclear Iran, or of Iran that goes to war to get what it wants. So it's a real problem over there, and that's why these negotiations have been very delicate with the moderate president, Rouhani, who actually wants to get a deal. By the way, Rouhani is getting horrible grief from some of these Ayatollahs in the Revolutionary Guard, just as Obama is getting grief from people like Bolton. Same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting, isn't it? All right, here's something we're going to jump back to the U.S. How about Congressman Aaron Schock, the Republican from Illinois, decent-looking, people really pushing him to be somebody that could rise through the party, and now he's going to resign from Congress at the end of the month. There's all kinds of problems. There's an ethics scandal brewing, and so the problems might just be starting because they might drop it congressionally, the investigators there, but he still could face all these criminal charges. What's going on with that? He's 33 years old from Peoria, and he was one of the top fundraisers and was a senior deputy whip, blah, blah, blah. Huh? But all of a sudden, things have unfolded in a much different direction for him.
Yes, well, you know, and I went from the ranked the 11th most powerful member of the whole body. I mean, it was a bipartisan ranking, which I appreciated, into Morgantown Federal Corrections, and I was a deputy whip. And, you know, you get in politics, and then you cross that bright line, or you don't see this and that, and boom, it just, you can go down as fast as you can go up. Now, we were paying attention to Aaron Schrock because he was, he was out there maybe to be Speaker of the House, and he did this design thing in his office. It drew attention, and then they looked into everything else under the sun, and he will close the ethics investigation by stepping down, but if the government wants to pursue it, I think he had some reimbursements of thousands of miles, people on trips, you know, all that type of thing. It's up to the Justice Department now. The Congress will let him go by him resigning. Although I'll tell you, I'll be very honest with you. I was told a year before I actually resigned and got into my plea deal, I was actually told by people, you know, if you step out now, this will go away. And of course I didn't. I kept running and won. So I don't know. That's probably his mindset, but this came as kind of a shock. The guy was prolific and fundraising. Big time, looked at to be maybe the Speaker of the House, and that's how, as they say, the House of Cards falls.
So true. So true, Bob. Bob Ney, thanks so much. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Mike Stenerson from Midas Resources. At no time in history have precious metals been more important, certainly not in my 22 years in the industry. The dollar has lost over 90% of its value in the last 60 years. No fiat currency has ever survived the government printing presses. Ours is not immune. The time is now to be proactive. 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Anything tied to the dollar is at risk. CDs, annuities, 401ks, IRAs, stocks, bonds, you name it. So decide. Do you want to leave a legacy of wealth or debt for your family? The choice is yours. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Be proactive, not reactive. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 116.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Walks barely down the street, pull way down low. Ain't no sound but the sound of speed. Machine guns ready to go. Are you ready? Hey, are you ready for this? Are you hanging on the edge of your seat? Out of the doorway, the bullets rip to the sound of the street. Yeah.
Another one bites the dust. All right, thanks for being hooked into America Tonight. Remember, 24/7, you can always reach the show. AmericaTonight.net. Click on contact and bada bing, you're in. Hook up there, Facebook and Twitter, and any other way that you want to get in touch with us. Coming up at the tail end of the hour, Patrick Anandal will join us, and he has a completely different view from a lot of the people who I think call America Tonight. You know, I always say and mean, don't care if you're left of left, right of right, somewhere in between, that all opinions are welcome. So Patrick actually is an international author, and he says the Republicans are, you know, are basically blowing it. He has a report card in the first 60 days talking about the logjam that we knew would exist in Washington, D.C., and saying that what's happened now in politics is it's about the money. Well, all you have to do is realize, and this is Democrats too, he beats up on the Republicans, but the Democrats have the same dilemma, or it has become the same pattern anyway, because the person with most money is the one who's going to get a lot of the attention. And when you say it costs $1 billion to run for president, $1 billion is a lot of fundraising. You have to be really good and really connected, even with the PACs that supposedly spring up and make it open, but it's still the people that have a gazillion dollars that are behind the PACs a lot of the times to roll that out. But we'll push that aside for a second. I have an update for you. If you are going to be part of any kind of an NCAA pool, Hampton stopped Manhattan, so now they move on to play Kentucky. And what do you think the chances are of Kentucky not getting by in the first round? I'd say slim to none. There's my great hint for you if you're filling out one of the office brackets. If you heard Sports Shorts the other day, 100 million people do fill in brackets, and most of them are not really college hoop watchers. Some are, but some don't even watch college hoops, and it's all about being in the being as a part of the game. And so there's your team. There's your team. And you know what's interesting, too, and it's been trending from the sports world, is there's a New Jersey man who says the office sports pool ruined his life. Because, you know, what happens is people try to hide the, depending on the company, they try to hide the bracket. Sometimes the boss is involved in the bracket. And so there's this guy named, I just read the story today, John Bovary, who says he started out in 1990 running an office football pool for the Wall Street firm where he worked. And he kept it even as it exploded, you know, over the next couple of decades. And now it's become an annual event. You ready for this? Bum-ba-da-da. We're just talking about money and campaigns. 8,000 people now pretty much enter this pool. You know what the purse is? Just take a wild guess. Imagine in your mind a big fat chunk of money if you went and did a scratcher and you got pretty lucky. The purse is $837,000. So this is the crazy thing. You know, the pools are actually illegal, but they just are tolerated, I guess. Until maybe the IRS wants to tax them, the three dreaded letters could come crashing down on everyone. But here's what's weird. So this guy's running this pool. It just explodes. It becomes a big deal because there's so much money on the line. 8,000 people are entered into it. And 5 years ago, there was a mobster who, of course, he didn't meet or know or any of that, who won 90 grand. And the paper trail of that led investigators to him. So they're going after this mobster. What happens is the cops tore up his condo because they figured, well, he's connected. He must be hoarding dough somewhere, cash somewhere. And they didn't turn anything up, but they grilled him, handcuffed him about checks he had sent to this Joseph La Scala, who is a member of the Genovese crime family. And the investigator said to him, "You sent checks to a guy you never met?" And he says, "Yeah, it happened every year." And he didn't believe he'd done anything wrong. He explained the whole process to them. His football pool had just exploded even into other sports besides the basketball tournament. And he did make some money from it because he had 10% from the winners. But he said he wasn't a bookmaker, blah, blah, blah. So now he's caught in the middle of this conundrum. But can you imagine? They come to your house, boom, slam you on the cement, handcuff you and all that. I mean, how crazy is it? So here's the upshot to this. He was charged with promoting gambling in the third degree and financial facilitation of criminal activity or money laundering in the first degree. Wow. Unbelievable, right? Because he quit his job at the Wall Street firm a while ago. He was a math teacher. And, you know, he and his wife are now having to get back on her salary and what he earns as an SAT tutor because he's trying to clear his name. So it just goes to show you. What is that saying? No good deed goes unpunished. Something like that was Oscar Wilde. Happy St. Patrick's Day. So here he was just running this little pool that exploded, got bigger, and because there was somebody, of course he didn't know half the people in it, but who had no idea he was sending a check to a mob guy, and now he's in trouble. My, oh my. So I guess there's a lesson in here. You don't want to be in charge of the office pool, right? You know what? You just don't want to be in charge of it because that might not turn out so well. All right, so good luck if you're doing that thing. Promise we'll run by some of them a little bit later in the week because I've actually gotten emails from many of you that have asked me to put the politics aside for a segment and go through the pool, and we will absolutely do that. So Hillary Clinton and the email thing and what's going to happen ultimately there in our next hour, if you're locked and loaded with us, we talk to our pal Dan Perkins, who is the opposite of Patrick Anadol, who's talking to us at the end of this hour, who does the report card pretty much on the GOP in Congress. And Dan Perkins is the 180 degrees from Patrick's point of view, and he specifically talks about Hillary and whether or not they're going to get the servers. And what I've been saying now for weeks, do you think that what's happened here means it's going to dent her as far as becoming the Democratic nominee? Or no, is it just a little bump in the road and the Clintons seem to weather pretty much everything? And the Benghazi committee, by the way, is giving Hillary Clinton more time to turn over emails. And the State Department is still pretty much not handing any of that Hillary Clinton documentation over from when she was Secretary of State. So then the question becomes, what could possibly be like on those emails that were the professional emails, but what about all the emails, the personal emails that were thrown out? Was there something in conversations with the White House and conversations with Bill Clinton, her husband, or whoever? Were there things they didn't want to see, or is it just, you know what, it's my personal email, of course we're going to dump them out? But the problem is the rules are kind of all over the board here. So did Hillary Clinton sign a form when she left the State Department saying she had given all of her work-related documents over before she left? That seems pretty easy, right? So if she signed, then that should be, they should have that. And everybody's trying to find that out because there have been a lot of Freedom of Information Act requests over this very thing. So saying that she did sign would be not good for her because it would mean she maintained a whole bunch of government emails despite swearing she had given everything up. Saying she didn't sign would be another embarrassing lapse in security and records management for the State Department, which seems to have a big problems in this area. And the third option is that Clinton signed, but the form can't be found. And that would just add to the, oops, we lost the form. We just create, I think, more of a firestorm, if you will, over the whole email flap. All right, we're just getting started. We're warmed up. We're getting into it on the flip side here on America Tonight.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
The freeze-dry guy, leader in the preparedness industry for 44 years, is closing his California warehouse. Don't miss out on this huge warehouse sale and receive discounts from 30 to 40% off on the finest Mountain House and Packaway brand freeze-dried and dehydrated foods for long-term food storage or even everyday use. Plus, deep discounts on all in-stock survival gear. The Freeze Dry Guy is offering a wide selection of freeze-dried foods in number 10 cans and even individually packaged entrees. Remember, meats, vegetables, fruits, and long-range patrol rations are the main components for any long-term food storage. This is limited to stock on hand, so hurry and call 866-404-3663 or 530-798-4414. Remember, as always, free shipping to the lower 48 states. So hurry up and call 866-404-3663 or 530-798-4414. Remember, this is limited to stock on hand. The Freeze-Dry Guy is your choice for survival food in an uncertain world.
Did you know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's A-L-K-A-Vision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Announcements and Bad Boys. So let's start with Bad Boys first. Oh, yes, it's true. Joe Clancy, on St. Patty's Day, no less, testifying about what in the world is going on with the Secret Service, since he is the head of the Secret Service right now. How is it possible that with all of the problems, all of the ugly, bad publicity and explanations that have had to happen with people jumping the fence and getting in the White House, and a series of other blunders, gaffes, and mistakes, that Clancy on his watch would allow trashed agents to barrel through the barricades at the White House? How does that happen when they're trying to lock down an area because of some kook throwing a supposed bomb out the window, which turned out it wasn't, but throwing it out the window and then creating a huge chaotic moment for the Secret Service, but they made it worse. So here's what Clancy had to say.
On March 4th, 2015, our understanding is that two senior level special agents came to the White House. The initial reports, I did not hear this incident until Monday. So this was on a Wednesday night. I found out Monday. Once I found out Monday, and what I heard initially, the initial reports from an anonymous report was that, as you stated, two senior-level special agents had crashed into the White House, and they were inebriated.
Why did you not learn of this incident immediately?
Yes, sir, and that's what we're trying to find out through, obviously, the Office of Inspector General.
I don't care about the Office of Inspector General. God love them and good luck to them. You're in charge.
I should have been informed, and we're following up on that, and there will be accountability. And I know that our workforce is listening today as we go through this hearing, and they're waiting to see how people are going to be held accountable. And this is my first test.
You say you're not investigating because you want the Inspector General of the department to investigate. It's hogwash.
With all due respect, I'm just shocked by your testimony. First of all, you said it wouldn't have been reported to you other than a whistleblower. I mean, it wasn't someone in the chain of command that reported it to you. And then you said, what really shocks me, it will take time to change the culture. I don't understand this one bit.
Maybe it's as bad as it may be to say this, maybe it's good that it happened early in my tenure so that we can set a tone as we move forward. Sir, I can't say any more than that.
Clancy, get it together, man. He certainly did not seem confident. Maybe it's glad it happened early in my tenure so we can get it together. He was such an easy patsy, too, to beat up on, right? He hasn't been in this gig very long. They ditched the female Secret Service agent who had worked her way up the chain because of problems with agents hiring prostitutes in Colombia and other crazy things that had happened, security breaches. So now they have Joe Clancy there, and he's got his first incident on the books. And, you know, maybe the Secret Service needs a complete overhaul. Sensitivity training, perhaps. I don't know. All right, sticking with bad boys, how about Congressman Aaron Schock? We mentioned at the beginning you heard Bob Ney talking about him and actually telling you about what happened to him because he served time in prison in the Jack Abramoff scandal and made that trip to Scotland where that's why I poked at him and said, well, you didn't even golf because his aides were all into it and then they went and then the next thing you know, Bob is accused of all kinds of things and is put in prison. So Congressman Schock, of somebody who was sought after as the future of the party in his early 30s, he's 34 years old. This is on the heels of the Downton Abbey questions. You know, the British show that everybody's wild about, Downton Abbey. He decorated his office like it, and then when he was on television saying, oh, you know, this is what it looks like, and saying that, oh, no, I didn't use that much money or whatever he said. But it turns out he paid $40,000 back to the government for the office, and I think that sent people poking around as to what else Congressman Schock was doing. So now there's a question, and here's a really big one. I mean, it's like anyone that reports mileage. Think about it. He reported miles of 170,000 when there was only 80,000 miles, period, on his car. So that's a problem. That's a big problem. Does he criminally get nailed because now he's stepping aside? He's going to resign. He had been in office since he was 27. He was on the cover of Men's Health magazine. I mean, people were really looking at him as this hopeful Republican who could rise maybe to Speaker of the House. That was the first thing that would probably have happened with him. So speaking of the Speaker of the House, John Boehner said, with this decision, Congressman Schock has put the best interests of his constituents in the House first. I appreciate Aaron's years of service. I wish him well in the future. So now it's a question of criminally what will happen with Schock. Will they come up with anything there? And there were a couple of other things besides the miles. There were other things that he spent money on. So the Office of Congressional Ethics is an outside and an outside panel that reviews the complaints against House members makes recommendations to the House Ethics Committee. But it, once he bounces out, it's going to be about whether or not he gets criminal charges filed against him, which it very well could happen if there's fraud, you know, maneuvering with taxpayers' money. So that's the deal there. We move from bad boys to follow-ups, things that we've been talking about here on America Tonight. And, of course, one of the big things, which has been running now for a while, is net neutrality. And we just talked about net neutrality the other day with Mike Wendy, the president of Media Freedom. And he is a guy who was researching it, worried about it for years. And if you heard that interview, you heard him tell me that. So now Republicans are accusing the FCC of just bowing over to the White House pressure on the net neutrality decision, which has certainly angered some cable and wireless giant companies. The Inspector General has an investigation going into whether the FCC violated any rules. Once again, it's like we're the email inspectors. They had samples of 1,600 pages of emails and other documents released by the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, and they say that they didn't see any blatant impropriety, but it raised some questions as to why senior Obama aides went to unbelievably unusual lengths to engage regulators on a big issue. And if the FCC gave the aides too much access to internal deliberations while shutting out Congress, and that would be the key thing. Not easy to prove, but if they have enough emails, enough documentation, it would certainly look that way. Congressman Jason Chaffetz, who's the chairman of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, did come to the president's aid. He said, look, a president should be able to weigh in, make his opinions known. I don't have a problem with that, but this seems very one-sided. Let's just put it this way. We know, and Mike Wendy and I discussed that, and you heard that there's going to be legal challenges to net neutrality. And I don't know, when they tell you, it's kind of like the doctor thing. Don't worry, you'll have the same doctors, and then, of course, you don't. Don't worry, you're not going to get taxed, crazy taxes. Nothing different is going to be there when it comes to the media sources that you enjoy. And then what happens, of course, is the complete opposite of that. So I kind of live by the theory of live every day and don't trust what they're telling you because it can change in a moment's notice. Wherever the herd goes, most likely that's what's happening. Wherever that happens to be, that's what you'll see. All right, a couple of quick nuggets for you. There was an envelope that came to the White House mailroom, tested positive for cyanide. Nobody was hurt. Nobody was exposed to it. That's good news. It reminds me of the anthrax days. You kept holding your breath because it seemed like that was what we would hear about, anthrax, anthrax, anthrax. And, of course, a lot of it was being mailed, so rightfully so, that was, you know, a big story, a huge story. And then we've got this problem with the Attorney General. A black caucus chairman is saying race has got to be a factor in Loretta Lynch and the vote delay. So now there's a question as to why isn't this being resolved? What is the problem, since most have theoretically signed off? Remember, the president nominated Lynch in November to replace Holder. If Lynch is confirmed, she's the first black woman to serve in that spot. Now, February 26th, if you remember, the Senate Judiciary Committee voted in favor of Lynch to replace Holder, who announced his resignation late in September. He said he would stay on the job until his successor is named. Well, guess what? Of course, we've been stuck with Holder ever since the day he resigned. We're into a new year, heading into the fourth month of the new year. What gives, people? Patrick Anandal coming up next. to talk a little report card for the first 60 days for Republicans on the Hill.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com. And be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here is what one doctor has to say about Extendovite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your product just makes it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on your product and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them, and what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. The yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect, and most of the other herbs in there find that strength in the arteries, they help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut, it's working on the liver, it's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Are you hungry for delicious, nutritious, rich, and satisfying home-cooked meals? Discover the Vita Clay 4-in-1 Smart Organic Cooker. Unglazed Zeesha Clay, an ancient secret that makes this fast multi-cooker so special. Infusing your food with incredible flavors, perfect texture, vitamins, and minerals for your good health. It's a slow cooker, rice cooker, a steamer, plus a yogurt maker. Go to VitaClayChef.com and enter promo code RADIO20 for 20% off at checkout. That's VitaClayChef.com.
St. Paddy's Day is coming soon to Guns80.com. My buddy Mark is rolling in clover since Guns80.com announced its clean and green sale. He used his leprechaun-like magical powers to get Guns80.com to offer us a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Now, for a limited time, when you order an AR-15 rifle kit, Guns80.com will toss in a cleaning kit and a tactical bipod pistol grip free, all for the low, low price of $449.95. Go to Guns80.com. That's Guns80.com.
To do this, we love to grade and sort of look at a report card, especially when it comes to Congress. And I'm so excited because we've got somebody who really dove deep into this, a 60-day Republican Congress report card. Joining us now is international author Patrick Anadol. He has been really keeping score and can tally it all up for us on what's going on with the Republicans and what's happening in Washington, D.C., taking a pulse, so to speak. Patrick, thanks for coming on America Tonight.
Good evening.
So let's talk about this. As you look at 60 days and this whole idea of heading into the Congress being controlled the majority by the Republicans, both in the Senate, obviously, and also congressionally speaking, what have you found? What did you find as you looked at some of the storylines and some of the issues and what happened?
Well, there's not an awful lot to score because not a lot has happened. The Senate, at least they pretended to be interested in trying to move forward in a bipartisan fashion and try and get some stuff done. I think the Congress itself, the House, is beyond redemption. They all, you know, people voted in 2014 for a House with 11% approval rating, and they wanted an even stupider House, so that's what they're going to get, and they're going to get probably very little done in the House. And so the Senate talked about, you know, maybe tweaking Obamacare, approving the Keystone Pipeline. They talked about tax reform, immigration reform. And if you look at that, if you take those words and see what they've achieved, well, we'll talk about Obamacare. Well, the House proceeded to, I think, the 56th time try and repeal Obamacare, knowing it would be vetoed, knowing it's not going to happen. So you have to ask yourself, why are they spending taxpayers' money doing the same thing 56 times? Could they be using their time more usefully to the benefit of taxpayers? But the Senate themselves, they've introduced and pulled an abortion bill that hasn't gone anywhere. They passed the Keystone bill, but that was knowing it was going to be vetoed. They threatened Homeland Security over an immigration issue, and they buckled on that. So Homeland Security was financed. So other than that, what are they doing? You know, they've made headlines about, you know, a senator suggesting maybe employees didn't need to wash their hands, or there's been discussion about vaccines, which, you know, you're asking yourself, am I going to listen to somebody who doesn't talk about science and doesn't talk about facts when it comes to deciding on vaccines, or am I going to listen to scientists and people who have facts? What I call the student body does not have any basis in facts when it comes to vaccine or global warming or whatever else the issue might be. I think that, as I said, the Congress itself is not going to achieve anything because they've gotten even sillier than they were before. And whatever Obama does, they will oppose it. If Obama wanted to put troops on the ground against ISIS, then Congress will suddenly say, why are we doing that? If he doesn't want to do it, then they want to do it. So whatever he wants to do, they'll want to do the opposite. So nothing's going to happen because they can't be seen to their base to do anything to support Obama's presumed perceived agenda. And a few other things have happened to indicate that the base has gotten even sillier since the 2014 election. Only 22% of Republicans believe that Ferguson represents as racial issues attached to it, which I think is fairly obvious there are racial issues in Ferguson. 57% of Republicans want to dismantle the Constitution and establish Christianity as the official national religion. Only 30% oppose making Christianity the national religion. That's the Republican voters. And then you had the 47 senators writing to Iran, going against protocol. This has never happened to any other president, and you have to ask, what gives them the nerve to do that? Is it race-based? Is there something to do with some form of bigotry there that you would undermine the president of the United States? He's negotiating with five other countries to try and tackle Iran. And bear in mind, with the falling oil price, the administration has the upper hand with both Iran and Russia. So you don't really have to spend all your time getting into ecstasy about whether it be Netanyahu, who's a right-wing extremist in Israel, or Putin, who's another right-wing extremist in Russia. So if you just let the foreign policy be dictated to some extent by people who actually know what they're doing, and still writing letters to Iran. So that's what they did. They wrote a letter to Iran, as you know, 47 of them, signed off. Right. Most of them, many of them are now backtracking and admitting that it was a mistake, or, you know, coming up with various sorts of excuses. And then if you look at, like, Tom Cotton, who was the leader of all of this, you've got to ask yourself, why? What's it? Obviously, he was an Iraq veteran and all of that, but he's definitely in it for money and war. He's just a war. He just loves wars. He desperately wants to undermine peace talks in Iran. You have to ask why. Well, then you have to look at where he gets his campaign contributions for. Where do the many Republicans get their? Why are they suddenly so pro Netanyahu? Well, it turns out that the Israeli lobby had been putting in, you know, 44 billionaires that contributed 115 million to Republicans in the 2012 and 2014 election cycles. If you look at Tom Cotton. In Arkansas, he gets $1 million or maybe $700,000 from the Emergency Committee for Israel. He gets another $350,000 from two other pro-Israel billionaires, Paul Singer and Seth Klein. And he gets another $143,000 from Elliott Management, which is owned by founded by Paul Singer, the same billionaire. He gets money from Sheldon Adelson, who was willing to give Romney $100 million just to make sure that Romney didn't investigate the casino operation. Or, and then Romney followed through on whatever whatever Adelson's position was on Israel, which is very, he would suggest using nuclear weapons against the Arabs. So, and obviously he's backed by the Koch Industries. He's backed by Americans for Prosperity, which is founded by the Koch brothers. And so he got so much money in his election cycle in 2014 from being that Arkansas election, that he's bound to take the Netanyahu position. He will always have to deny global warming, because anybody who gets money from Americans for Prosperity has to sign a pledge that they won't do anything to support the concept of global warming. So, you know, money is talking. Money is talking to these Republicans. Money, especially with Netanyahu, and the Israeli issue is sort of proof in the pudding that they're suddenly, he's their wonder boy in Israel, Netanyahu, an extreme right-wing party allied with Israel. It's very ironic.
It is very ironic. Do you, in that sense, do you, the perspective that you bring, certainly, as I mentioned, internationally, and looking at, you're an international author and looking at it through that way. And by the way, your book, of course, will tell everybody is, stupid party math versus myth. Do you think, this is your opinion is what others share, that, you know, they're looking at this and saying, what's going on in America? Because I found that when I lived in Europe, people were constantly, Patrick, asking me about American politics and saying they didn't understand something, whatever it was going on.
Yeah, we're appalled. First of all, there's nothing in my book that probably actually 80% of Americans wouldn't agree with. It's a very orthodox book. But just by taking orthodox stance, you can see how much utter nonsense the Republican Party has been talking for the last few years. I mean, they're not, their economic policy, as espoused by Romney in the 2012 convention speech, was totally vacuous. It's like 200 words out of 2,200, and it didn't really say anything. And they talk about how foreigners perceive America. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Romney goes to the Olympic Games. Remember the London Olympic Games? Within 12 hours, 24 hours, every single the three leaders of the political parties were just appalled by what he said. The mayor of London, Boris Johnson, just took the piss out of him the whole time. To have the leaders of each major party strongly criticize an American presidential candidate, that's unheard of. It took him 24 hours to piss off the whole of the United Kingdom.
Yeah, 24, that's it. Unbelievable.
He is a stunningly bad candidate. He didn't have any ideas that went beyond the top 0.5% of the U.S. population. Trickle-down does not work. It's never worked. When you look at every statistic, every time you allow unfettered capitalism to reign, whether it be the Great Depression, whether it be the Gilded Age, or now again today, you know, in 2008 with the economic meltdown, mm-hmm. it will lead to at least a financial collapse, which is very close to the Second Depression. And then you have to go back to changing economics to save the economy, which is trickle-up.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you there. I think people don't really understand what trickle down means, and you're right in that analogy of trickle up. Absolutely. Patrick Anadol, thanks so much for coming on. Your book, Stupid Party Math versus Myth, we appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
You pick up the receiver. With your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead, you finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the state you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out...
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Jason.
Going once. Twice. Okay, we got to move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait. No.
Interact with of the hosts you're listening to right now online at gcnlive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at gcnlive.com.